You are listening to Blaze the Mic, a podcast from the University of Texas at Arlington School of Social Work that explores the real stories of our students and social work professionals. Together, we visit stories about how our students build bridges, end stigma, and create positive impact affecting entire communities. I'm your host, Douglas Gutierrez, and this is Blaze the Mic. All right. Welcome to Blaze the Mic. I am here with the one and only Pauline Cias. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thanks.
Yeah. How was your, have your travel here? I know the weather's a little...
It's a little funny. It was actually good. It wasn't too bad. It was a little drizzle, but nothing I can't handle. So we're good.
Yeah. How do you like our new building?
Oh, I do like it. It's nice and bright and open compared to the what we had before.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. A lot more... window room, a lot more scenery, a lot more green.
Yes.
A lot more green, a lot more green. When coming now to this new building, now as a graduate, you just recently graduated.
I did. I graduated May 2023.
Yeah, with your bachelor's, correct?
Yes, bachelor's in social work.
How has life been with you as a graduate of the undergraduate program here at UTA School of Social Work?
Going through the program was nice. I loved it. I enjoyed it. I tapped into becoming more of a UTA maverick more than I ever thought I would ever become. The day of graduation, sitting there and looking around, I was like, oh, wow, I really did it. I finished it. I was like, okay, this is neat. This is cool. And walking the stage was unbelievable and surreal at some points where I'm just like, wow, I really finished my bachelor's at the and also with the old building. And then the summer happened. And then my master's. And I was like, oh, new building, new program, new pace of course.
Right, right.
It was just like, oh, okay, I'm really doing this. So it was a nice transition from bachelor's and graduating and all of that happening at the end of 2023. And then coming in August, doing the master's. And I'm just like, wow, this is it. New building, like I said, new program, advanced, very accelerated program, which I was like, all right, it's new. So it's like my undergraduate is there at the old building and my graduate is here at the new building.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Almost like there's an actual physical component to you transitioning from your bachelor's to your master's.
Yes.
With the transition of a new building.
Exactly. It was a physical. It was visual. So it was nice to see that part of my bachelor's as it closed. It was the older building. Getting my feet wet of learning the program, learning the enjoying the bachelor's program, like, oh, this is what I'm going to be doing. And then coming into this more new looking, advanced, modern building in the master's program at Advanced Standing, it was like, okay, here's my next chapter. This is where I need to be.
Yeah, and I wanted to touch on what you said earlier about tapping into a maverick that graduated. I want to talk about the MSW transition, but As a graduate, what was that initial feeling of the actual ceremony? Was it more of I'm finished, so I'm through, or was it more of I'm finished, what else can I do?
When I came here, I wanted to come and get my bachelor's degree and then go on to my master's, wherever that might have been at the beginning.
Okay.
The day of graduation, it was a bittersweet because by that point, I had become a UTA maverick. The word UTA has become a normal word in my household. It's just, if I'm not at home, then I'm at UTA. It's just normal. It's part of our language every day, if not 2 to 3 times a day type of thing. And sitting there at graduation and looking around and being around all the other graduates, the doctorals, the masters, and the bachelors, I'm looking around like, this is just the beginning of my journey. Even though it's the end of my bachelor's, it's still just the beginning of my journey and what the next steps will be. This is the foundation of it. So that was an interesting component because, like I said, I'm sitting here like, this is the end, but it's really just the beginning of whatever I'm going to do. That's how I felt.
Very philosophical outlook on that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it was nice to see that even though I do attend UTA, I am a maverick. Like I said, my kids, I have 2 kids, they know UTA, they wear the shirts, you know, they're all about it, I'm about it. It's a language, it's a style. It has become now that going through this bachelor's program, sitting at graduation, showing their friends my graduation pictures, walking in the gown, the whole cap and gown on graduation day. I went to their elementary school and I walked their classrooms, and the kids were so excited for me. And they're like, "You graduated, Miss CS. We're so happy for you."
Love
then
that.
I had a few moms actually reach out and say, "My kid never thought of college until they saw you and how you're working, subbing, being in the classroom, you know, still doing it. It was just language. It was just a language that I had formulated at home. Like, okay, I got school today." My sons would hold me accountable at that bachelor's level. They wanted to see my grades. They wanted to. So it was at that time, graduation, all these things were coming into play. Like, okay, the boys see me. My sons see me walking across the stage. They see how excited I am. They see, like, this is a big thing. And even though I've never truly pushed and said, "Oh, you have to go, you have to go," it's a non-negotiable. They are going now. They said they're going. It's, "Mom, when I graduate high school, I want to go here, here, here." You know, one of my sons is looking at colleges out of state and checking out their sports programs and checking out other programs. Like, he's tapping into that because he's seen how I have been so invested during my bachelor's at the different programs, whether it's school organizations, tapping into workshops, you know, becoming part of the UTA. Even though I don't live on campus, I live an hour away, I'm still very invested.
Yeah, yeah. I love how you add the implementation of your kids keeping you accountable. I know you're a pretty involved student. Your name pops around a lot in positive light here at the School of Social Work. How important is, or rather, how impactful is it to have that type of community support from your immediate family, from your sons or from other mothers that kind of help support you along your way obtaining a higher education?
Without them, without my immediate and extended, and even people I've met along the way, it would not be possible at all for me. I'm very invested with my kids and my husband, and with us as a family unit, we're busy constantly. Like, we're going and coming here and there with sports, family functions, things like that. And then my friends and family that are extended out, they know it's just like, "Oh, you know, how are you doing?" They actually bring it up. They ask this and that. One of my really good close friends said something that really hit me graduation day. And she's like, "I'm not going to miss this for the world." She goes, "Because you're not graduating just for you. You're graduating for all of us who are not able to graduate or go." So that hit me real hard. When I was there, I was actually sitting and waiting to start the ceremony. And I called one of my best friends. She actually had to be at a prior engagement, so she couldn't be there. And I called her and I was like, "I'm sitting here." I sent her a picture. I was like, "I'm here," this and that. And we both started crying on the phone because we both started together. And she finished first with her master's, and then I'm finishing my bachelor's. And I was like, you know, we just had a moment, and she could hear everything that was going on. And she was like, "I'm sorry I'm not there." I'm like, "But you are, because without her starting this journey, you know, I wouldn't be there." So it's just all the people that you meet along the way and how they just ask you, "How is it going? Oh, I saw you posted about this with your school. That's so awesome." And just being able to have all that positive energy when you're going through school and going through family life and just life in general, it can get hard. But then when you have those little supports and those comments of like, "Oh my God, you're doing it. You know, you're so awesome." Or I have, you know, my mom that said, "My daughter wants to go to school now because of you." That's what I keep in the back of my head. Like, okay, those late nights when I'm doing reports and papers and looking at statistics, I'm like, okay, I can do this. Because it's not just for me. Whenever we go to school, we think we're the ones who are sitting there and doing it. We are. But everybody around us who's watching us, we don't realize the impact that we have.
Correct. It's almost as if you are the physical embodiment of the investment of that direct community.
Exactly.
You are the walking representation of what support and drive and discipline looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I love that. And I know you mentioned that now you graduated in May.
Yes.
In 2023.
Yes.
And now you are a master's student.
I am.
Talk to me a little bit about that, because I heard in particular with the School of Social Work, there's almost like a niche. What's the standard default amount of time it takes to obtain a master's degree? Isn't it around the 2 year mark?
Yes. So normally it's about the 2 year mark. Because I was able to finish my bachelor's in social work, I actually was able to walk into the master's program. You still apply, still do that process, but I'm able to walk in at the master's program and do it, what's called, you're pretty much advanced standing, which means you can get it done in 12 months.
So that's a lot shorter.
Yep.
That's a lot shorter. Yeah. Yes. Talk to me about that a little bit. How's that? Was that a driving factor in applying into this master program?
Yes, because after doing my bachelor's, it took longer than a couple years to do my bachelor's. But once we did that master's, I knew that there was a beginning, there's a middle, there's an end. Those classes, because I'm also doing it in the cohort style, which means it's a group of us. Mm. And we're able to enroll in our classes and not have to worry about if classes drop or this, because they're like, you're taking these semester one, you're taking these semester two, you're taking these in summer, and you're done. You don't have to figure out classes. You don't have to, you know, sit there. I mean, you do enroll, but you're not having to say, oh, is it going to stay? Is it not going to stay? Do I want to do online? Do I want to do in person? Everything's laid out. So once you select your master's program, you have to select your specialty. So mine is in children and families.
Awesome.
So that's what I'm doing mine in. And then mine is actually in person. So I have the master's program with children and families in person cohort. So I come here to UTA two days a week, Mondays and Wednesdays, and I'm here. I am here for a good amount of time, but the classes, one, they're once a week. So my Monday classes are only on Mondays. My Wednesday classes are only on Wednesdays. But the amount of knowledge that you're able to get at this master's level is different than bachelor's, of course, because a bachelor's, you're learning it, trying to, dabbling in the concepts, looking at the theories, just kind of understanding what social work is. Now at your master's level, you're diving deeper, because by the time you are done with your master's and you get your license, you'll be able to do, you know, whether it's clinical, you can do that micro level, what you're doing with clients one-on-one, doing therapy sessions. You can do the meso, where you're at that community level. So maybe you're not working directly with clients every day, but let's say you're in a school and you're working with high schools, middle schools, and elementary schools. You're working with that community. Or you can go the macro level and do the social policies. Look at the policies. What do we need to change? How do we need to implement it better with whatever population, whether it's a disabled population, a minority, whatever topic, you know, how can we change those policies, those laws to trickle down and be able to positively affect our clients?
I love that. So from my understanding of what you said, the undergraduate level is more of the hypotheticals, kind of learning the, like you were saying, in theories, but then in your advanced now practice or in your master's degree level, it's more focused, it's more funneled, it's more organized and precise on what it is you actually want to do in a field of social work.
Correct. And one of the things with our bachelor's is they also take you through the ability to learn your own biases, to see what are, you know.
That sounds fun.
Well, you become more aware of saying, oh, you know what, that's a population I may not want to deal with. Or you know what, you may not have known, because when we grow up, we're taught one way so long, we're never shown anything different. And if we are shown something different, it could be just for the fact to say, oh, wait a minute, that's wrong, because it's different than what I think. We learn how to look at it as a whole, and it's not just, oh, this is wrong, we need to fix it. We need to look and dive down deeper and see what's going on. How did we get there? How can we change it? How can we improve? How do we meet our clients where they're at to be able to move forward? Not looking at in the beginning once they were born. No, we look at all of that as a whole, but to be able to help them with their own goals. We're not deciding things. Okay. And it allows us to say, okay, this is what I need to focus on me. These are triggers I need to tap into. Like, we have resources here at UTA that we can tap into when, you know, oh, this is a trigger for me, or oh, this spiked emotions, let me go start my own therapy sessions with them.
Right.
So we're able to tap into those resources. And then at the master's level, so you're aware of all that. Once you get to the master's level, you do dive deeper into how to do clinical therapy, how to look at policies, how to even think about changing them. Like, is that something that you're interested in? You know, looking at research and what they're saying. At the master's level, you're also able to do a thesis, you know, and be able to publish at the master's level. A lot of that happens at the PhD, but here with social work, you can actually publish a thesis at the master's level.
That's pretty cool. To kind of get some publicity, some additional credibility to what it is in your career fair that you are pursuing.
Yes. And I love the School of Social Work, how they let you know, get into different school organizations, because a lot of the school organizations here with the School of Social Work, they do things out in the community where they are changing things. They are tapping into the communities. They are looking at, you know, what do we need? What does this community need? The needs of communities. And we're able to, while we're learning, to actually put our teachings to use, what we've been shown at the bachelor's level and also out at the master's level as well. you know, there's different leadership opportunities that you can do learning it. And some people have done it and they've never stepped into a leadership role. And then they're able to tap into that here at UTA in a safe place and learn how to do it, learn how they do have strengths in those categories where they can excel. And then they're sitting here like, I would have never thought to do that. So it's really a neat program from bachelor's to master's to be able to look at the different organizations. The professors are very invested in us. They always let us know, you know, you need to self-care, you know, take time. If something's going on, talk to us. And I've actually talked to a few of them outside of class just saying, hey, you know what, I have a lot on my plate, you know, right now. Can I, you know, can we talk real quick? And they're very like, let's see what's going on. How can we do this? You know, when you get to the university level, some people think you're just an ID number because they see these big classrooms with tons of chairs. But the School of Social Work, you're more than that. You're a person, and the School of Social Work identifies you as you're a human. How can we help? Yes, we have class going on. Yes, we have life, but how can we also help you? What can we do?
So there's definitely a different relationship dynamic between instructor and student.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know we recently had a talk show podcast within Courtyard Conversations. Dr. Genevieve Graff was talking about the importance of a mental health day and how some schools are now implementing those to be excused days to literally do what it is you need to do to recharge, refocus, and essentially de-stress and decompress from the daily weight that you have from all your other activities.
Exactly. And in the School of Social Work, we talk about that to self-care. Some people think of self-care as, oh, I'm going to go binge watch Netflix for like 3 hours and eat a tub of ice cream. Not necessarily. We're taught how to handle those triggers or even those emotions when they happen. And they're going to pop up. We don't schedule them.
Right.
We're not like, okay, at 2 o'clock, I can have an emotional breakdown.
Yeah.
You know, or
they're going to happen.
They're going to happen when they happen. And in the School of Social Work, the classes are able to allow us to be aware of, oh, I need to pay attention to this, or oh, I need to pay attention to that.
I knew you were an excellent student based on the referrals I got from other professors. But now speaking with you, I get a very deep sense of wisdom for you. And I know you mentioned that you're also a mother.
Yes.
What role does that play in your hat of as a student here as a maverick here in the School of Social Work? Does it help with, or let me just open in the question like that. What role does motherhood play in being a student here?
Motherhood is the reason I'm here. Motherhood is the drive that gets me going when I'm working on a paper and me and that paper are arguing. And that paper is starting to win the argument. Motherhood is what gets me to say, nope, you know, and readjust, step back for a minute and go in again. The easiest way I can say it is that I was told I couldn't have children. So when I had my two sons, they're 11 and 10. They keep track of me so much. They want to see my grades. They actually taught me Canvas because when I came in, it was during the COVID-19 and that whole online concept well. So they were already doing it. So I was like, all right, y'all come teach me Canvas because I don't know what I'm doing. And they're teaching me Canvas. They're teaching me Google. They're teaching me all sorts of things. So they are the reason. And they keep me on my toes. They want to make sure I'm doing good. They bring me snacks. If I tell them, hey, I need to do my paper, they'll bring me snacks. They'll bring me a Coke. You know, fruit snacks, apples, anything. If they can see that I'm getting frustrated, sometimes they'll come and just rub my back. My younger one will come and rub my back and be like, Mommy, are you okay? I'm like, I am. And they're like, you're not. I'm like, I know, but we're gonna get through this. You know, so they've seen the journey. They've seen me at when I've been upset, like, I can't, you know, what is it? I'm missing this component. You know, they've seen me through it all. And without them keeping me accountable, but without them being my biggest cheerleaders, it would have probably been very difficult because they've taken me. They've been through the whole time when I'm looking up textbooks and when we're loading the car in the mornings, the simple things of my older one will go and grab my backpack. And then my younger one grabs my coffee and they're like, hey, Mom, you have your keys, your jacket, we have your coffee, Mom, we have your lunch in the car. Like, they'll make my lunch sometimes. They'll make my lunch, pack me extra snacks, write me a note. So they really do keep me sane when I come to school to be ready to do that. And since I come at night for the master's program, I always tell them, please make sure you do what you're supposed to do. Please go to bed when you're like, I don't need that additional stress on me.
Right.
And they'll tell me, nope, we're good. They're doing their homework on time. It's really shifted our house in a positive way, because they're able to, one, be accountable for their things, and then also, two, they're able to allow me not to have to stress about that. And so I tell them thank you as much as I can. And the day of graduation in May, they were standing up screaming and cheering, and, you know, they run to me and
love that.
They're my biggest cheerleaders. And motherhood is as difficult as motherhood can be. The wonderful, beautiful moments that it has is moments like this. When I'm told them today, you know, okay, we got this and this and this lined up, and they're like, Mom, have a good day. You know, you're going to do good, or don't worry. You know, you have your books ready, or Mama put a snack in your backpack. So it's nice, because without them doing those extra little things, it would be a little bit stressful.
I can imagine. No, I love that. I love the relationship you've almost cultivated, or you and your family have almost cultivated, with you and your pursuit of a higher education, you and your other activities. Again, just a very healthy relationship in terms of support.
Mm-hmm.
Support. Coming to a wrap of this podcast, what is one piece of advice you would give to a prospective student, maybe a student who wants to start their higher education journey at a little bit later in life, maybe mothers who don't think they can balance, you know, motherhood and pursuing a higher education? What piece of advice would you give those students?
Try one class. Just try one class. Because no matter how much time we try to plan it out and plan it out and plan it out until you're just put into it, it's not going to happen. And that's how I came into this. I could try to plan and plan, and it didn't work. Until I just got put in the situation, I made it work. And so I was able to take more than one class. But if anything, just take one class, and one class at your strength. If you know you need to be in person and you need to physically remove yourself, do that. If you know you can handle it online and not, you know, and be able to maintain that, great. But just take one class. Take one class and see what happens.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. This has been Blaze the Mic with Pauline Cias, MSW student. Until next time, I am your host, Douglas Gutierrez. See you on the next one. Thank you for supporting this episode of Blaze the Mic. This production was brought to you by the University of Texas at Arlington School of Social Works Communications and Marketing Office. If you like this episode and would like to learn more about the University of Texas at Arlington and its top-ranked School of Social Work program, please visit us at uta.edu/SSW. Or you can follow us on social media at UTA Social Work. Thanks again. Till next time, this is Douglas Gutierrez, signing off.